Hello and welcome to episode 11 of Fire Away, Rudner Law's online Q&A show focused on the employment law issues that matter to you. My name is Stuart Rudner. I'm an employment lawyer and mediator and your host of Fire Away. Our topic today is doctor's notes, and more specifically, when employers can or when they should be allowed to require doctor's notes when employees are sick. Today, I'm joined by Omar Haredi, who is very well known within the Toronto legal community, perhaps Canadian legal community. And I had to laugh when I saw the show notes because it lists all the things that Omar does and then said, among other things. But Omar is a Toronto lawyer, a legal academic, an educator, and he is a frequent commentator in the media. So Omar, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Stuart.
So let's get into the discussion. So I woke up this morning. Actually, I went to bed last night. My head was pounding. My nose was running. My throat was sore. I felt like there's no way I'm going to be able to get up tomorrow morning to go to work or do this show. But what do most people do when they wake up feeling that in the morning? And what happens when you call your boss or you text your boss and you say, can't come to work today, I feel terrible. And then the boss responds and says, okay, feel better soon. Oh, and don't forget to bring that doctor's note with you when you come back to work. Or what can you do as an employer when you have someone who calls in sick, and maybe they're calling in sick a bit more often than the norm. Maybe they're calling in sick on days that make you suspicious. It's not entirely legitimate every time. Do you have the right to ask for doctor's notes? Omar, what's your take on which was the right approach, or when employers should be allowed to demand doctor's notes when employees are absent?
Well, like I think anything in employment law, it really depends about the employee that you're dealing with, the type of workplace that you're operating in, and the type of challenges that you're facing. In some types of workplaces, if you have employees who are chronically sick, that's going to create an enormous disruption in your operation. And I think this is really what the crux of it is, that the employment relationship is a contract. It's a special contract, but it's a contract. And so employees are being paid, they're being provided money. In return, they're supposed to work. Now, nobody expects you to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's the reason why we have limits on how much you work. And understandably, we all get sick. We're not machines yet. And so we all have those downtimes where we get sick. And the question then becomes, are you sick enough or are you so sick that you can't come into work? And from an employer's perspective, if you do see employees, for example, routinely taking the day before the long weekend off, they're sick, let's say, 20, 30 times in a year, it starts to become more of a concern because they're not getting out of that employment relationship what they really intended. It doesn't mean that they can just throw up their hands and say, I'm done with this employee, especially if you're looking to terminate someone or discipline them on the basis of their absences. And if they're claiming that they're sick because of those absences. So there is a process that you need to engage in.
Yeah, and you hit on two key points. First of all, Omar, you said it depends, which every lawyer has to say at least every 10 minutes or so. I appreciate you covering that. But second of all, you gave the example that I always give, which is what about the employee who is sick every Friday before the long weekends in the summer? And this is one of my pet peeves, which I will talk about when I get to Fireway later, but employers who have a policy, and the most common policy I see is, you know, you're entitled to X number of sick days per year. If you're absent for three or more days, we have the right to require a doctor's note. But what about the employee who misses every Friday before a long weekend? Or the employee who asks for a day off to go to Las Vegas with their friends, the request is denied, and suddenly they're sick on that day, which I have certainly seen happen. So what about those suspicious absences? So employers, if you're going to have a policy, take the time to draft it properly, which means allowing yourself the discretion to require doctor's notes when it's appropriate. And Omar, to the point you're making, there are times when it is suspicious. And that's probably a great segue. Rob, if you want to cue up that video from one of my favorite movies of all time, which is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's obviously in the school context, but you know, the video demonstrates the fact that this is not a legitimate illness and the lengths that people will go to in order to get a day off.
How could I possibly be expected to handle school on a day like this? This is my ninth sick day this semester. It's getting pretty tough coming up with new illnesses. If I go for 10, I'm probably gonna have to barf up a lung. So I better make this one count.
One of the main reasons I really wanted a computer as a teenager is so I could do stuff like that.
So, Stuart, I'm going to speak to the policies that you described. And I think, you know, employer policies are very important, especially in terms of how we actually manage or gauge the employment relationship. And so for employers, I agree, have a well-crafted policy. For the employee who might be getting sick and perhaps is unfortunately getting sick routinely over the course of a year, it's also important to revisit that policy to make sure that you're following it. The one thing I will say about policies, though, is that they need to be applied uniformly and without a, I would say, discriminatory or different basis for these individuals who might be getting sick. The reason for that is, if you're not requesting a sick note from anybody in the workplace, even though your policy says that you should be, and then you have one problematic employee who's taking that day before the long weekend every single year, then and you're having more scrutiny for them, you may actually have some difficulty then applying that same policy because there's a concept of condemnation where you're not actually implementing the policy uniformly. The other thing that I would caution is that sometimes when you're dealing with things like sick notes, you often start getting into areas like human rights, disability, perhaps family responsibilities and other types of issues. And so the fact that there was a philosophical difference between the two different governments, the previous government essentially said, we want to create enough safe space or enough space for employees to be able to take this time without scrutiny by the employer. And what this government has said, well, there will be scrutiny by the employer in the form of a doctor's note. The concern that I have, or at least the thing that I would caution, is that that doctor's note may in fact then trigger other types of employer obligations, such as the obligation to accommodate in the workplace once there's actually some sort of chronic illness or sickness that's in place.
Yeah, which is a great point, and which is why employers often don't want to know, because they don't want to be aware of the fact they have to accommodate something. But putting that aside for a moment, I mean, there's been a lot of debate about the basically the benefit of requiring doctor's notes, because as we talked about off camera, I mean, I think it's fairly well known that it's not hard to get a doctor's note, and it, you know, you can go online and Google, you know, doctor's notes online, and you can click on links and find out exactly how to get one without ever leaving the comfort of your bedroom. But even if you do go to your doctor or a walk-in clinic in Ontario, I mean, I have seen, you know, doctor's notes that, you know, just make you laugh because they're so ridiculous, but it's not that hard to get them. So there's been a lot of controversy. There have been the OMA, the CMA, who have released their positions that are very much against employers being using the doctors to police their employees. And, you know, those articles in Global News, one was by Adam Burns, and they made two points. One is that if you have an employee who is sick and you make them go to a doctor or a medical walk-in clinic, you're risking spreading germs and infecting other people, whereas the person really should be at home resting. Second of all, the reality is you're imposing more of an administrative burden on doctors who would be better off spending their time tending to sick patients. So those are two of the arguments that have been made against having doctors do the police work for employers. On the flip side, employers and their associations will say they're not doctors. They're not equipped to judge whether someone is too ill to be at work. So who else can they look to but doctors? Frankly, my view is there is no perfect solution, because the reality is if you tell an employee who says they're sick to go to a doctor, they're going to go to a doctor and get a note, and it's not going to be difficult, but it's a deterrent. And many people who are now faced with the choice of either going to work or spend a good part of the day at a walk-in clinic are just going to say, you know what, I'm going to go into work, which is great if that person wasn't legitimately sick. It's not so great if they were, and they're choosing to be at sick while to be at work while they're sick. So I don't know how you rationalize those two positions, but there really is no perfect solution.
There isn't a perfect solution, which is why I think it really is reasonable, both the approaches from the previous government and the current government. They simply reflect a different philosophy. And I think we need to unpack or perhaps pause around some of the statements coming out from the medical community. I don't think most physicians went through undergraduate, did an MCAT, completed med school, completed residency then in family medicine, so that they could sit there and just churn out doctor's notes. And so part of this comes from a reluctance from the medical establishment about the type of work that they would prefer to be doing. I think that's something to keep in mind. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's inherently wrong or improper, except from the medical perspectives that we've heard, that you're perhaps spreading communicable diseases through a waiting room. Okay, so that's a very valid concern. in society where we have a government that says, look, there's a possibility or potential of abuse or fraud of this system, it's very, very reasonable to say we want to actually involve our medical establishment, the medical establishment that we're largely paying for, right? I mean, OHIP is it's paid for by the government, as a safety valve or as a check. And most of these doctor notes are also then requiring a small fee, $10, $25, something like that for the patient, which acts as a deterrent as well from a financial perspective to say, oh, I got to pay something now to get this doctor's note as well. And those are not necessarily unhealthy aspects of the system. Mm-hmm. I think where some of the concern might come in is where you have vulnerable members of society, individuals who are working perhaps two or three jobs, don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of savings. They get sick. And like you said, they're no longer able to focus on recovering. They now have to run around, get a doctor's note. Now they don't have 2 days that are being paid, right, under the new ESA. So they're having an unpaid sick day where they also have to pay some money for a sick note, and they just don't have the money. And so what they're doing then perhaps is dragging themselves into work where they're not being very productive because they're sick. They're not actually working very hard and potentially are getting other people in the workplace sick as well. So there is a downside to this as well.
Absolutely. And you know, a term that I think was coined a few years ago is instead of absenteeism, we often have presenteeism, especially when a lot of employers started to try to reward people for their great attendance. So if you didn't take a sick day all year, you get $1,000 at the end of the year. So guess what? Somebody gets sick in November, December, they're going to force themselves to come into the office. And like you said, they're probably going to make everybody else sick. They're not going to get any work done. So it's really a detriment to the employer as opposed to what was intended, which was having people come to work as opposed to, opposed to taking those days off. On the issues of doctor's notes, I mean, you mentioned that money doctors will charge a fee. And I had this discussion with someone yesterday about the fact that we have OHIP, there is coverage, but it doesn't cover things like doctor's notes, doesn't cover parking. So if you've got to go to your doctor or even worse, go to a hospital, you're going to spend $20-$30 to park plus $20 for your note. It's a $50 day to get out of work. What are you seeing? Because I've seen very different approaches from employers, but what are you seeing in terms of whether employers will pay for the cost of the note?
It really, again, varies on the employer and the type of relationship that they have. And I think this is really what I often try to emphasize in employment law is that it's a relationship. And so in some relationships, you might want to have documentation, and that's a decision that's being made by the government. And I think that helps in some ways, because rather than the employer saying, well, we're going to implement a policy or we're not going to implement a policy, it's easier to say, look, we're in a different environment now. The government has made some changes, and we're just changing with those changes. And so it's not about us. This is really just the way that society is moving. And they can choose, as you've indicated, to cover some of those notes. It's a small way to do it, or a small incentive that they can provide to those employees. But ultimately, going to your point, Stuart, is that you really want to foster a relationship of trust. You want to foster a relationship of openness so that, even if an employee is sick and you say, well, can you work like half the day because there is a deadline that we have 2 days from now that you're really playing a crucial part on, and maybe you can do that from home. There are ways in which you can still achieve the workplace objectives when working with the employees as opposed to in a context where you're scrutinizing them overly or distrusting them and having a lot of skepticism about whether or not they're sick.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, it is an ongoing relationship. It should be ideally a relationship based upon respect and trust. And requiring doctor's notes, for every absence is really a signal you don't trust someone. I mean, it's really, it shows the relationship is not working. And that's one thing I say to our employers. I said at the beginning, you want to have a policy that gives you as an employer the discretion to ask for notes where it is appropriate. And you made the point earlier, you can't sort of pick and choose. Although I would say you can as long as you have a good faith reason. So in other words, if you have a long-term employee who takes a day off because they're sick, you don't necessarily have to ask them for a note. But if you have someone who's only been working for a short period of time and is taking the Friday before every long weekend, I think you've got a good reason to say, I want doctor's notes for those absences. And I don't think you have any real risk there of that you could have a claim made against you for that. But to your point, it should be a discussion. And maybe, like you said, there's a deadline. We need you to, can you help at all? Can you work from home today? Can you work a half day? How can we facilitate things for you? And that's going to be far, far more beneficial to all the parties than saying, unless you have a doctor's note, you better drag your butt into work. That's just not going to benefit anyone. And if you get to the point where you just don't trust someone, I mean, you know, I've written, as you know, most of the viewers know, I've written a book on just cause for dismissal. It's called You're Fired. It's got nothing to do with Donald Trump. I always say that now. You can always think about firing someone for cause. It's going to be pretty hard if they've missed a couple of days of work because they were sick. But the reality is, unless you're dealing with a unionized work environment, you can dismiss somebody at any time for almost any reason. So just let them go, package them out, and move on. Because obviously, if you don't trust them when they call you and say, I'm sick today, I can't come into work, there's probably much bigger issues in the relationship than that. So I kind of agree with you. You got to look at the bigger relationship and not just the one day that someone calls and says they can't come into work.
Yeah, I think I'll add to that, Stuart. I think obviously progressive discipline is required if you're actually going to try to terminate for someone for cause. But if you're terminating them without cause, that's obviously an option of last resort as well. Because you're saying, I trust them so little, or they're just, you know, repeatedly taking off the holidays or the workday right before the holidays, that I just don't, you know, expect that they're going to be there for me when I need them to be there for me as an employer. What I often say to employees, though, and it goes equally for employers, that it's not just about termination. The way that you deal with sicknesses and absences as a result of those sicknesses informs your employment relationship even more broadly. And what I mean by that is if there are discretionary year-end bonuses, if I'm an employer, I'm going to look at not only the employee who showed up or perhaps didn't take as many absences, but also who performed the best on the job. And that quite often entails whether or not a person is there or not there. It can also fit into promotion. So if you're in a larger company where there's a possibility that you could be moving into a higher pay role or perhaps even a supervisory or management role, I want those employees who have those stellar attendance records, keeping in mind that I don't want to be discriminating against someone who has something that needs to be accommodated for. And so there are broader implications here beyond just termination, and I don't think we should be looking at the employment relationship as simply managing absences or sicknesses and the alternative being termination. So there is a spectrum in there in between where all of this affects the relationship as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And just on the termination point, and one thing I always say to people is, again, assuming you're not unionized, you can let somebody go for at any time for just about any reason. One of the exceptions, of course, is human rights grounds. And if you're letting someone go because they are chronically absent, and that absence has to do with a disability, you've now breached the human rights code. So you need to approach that very cautiously as well. So as is always the case, we are already out of time. So Omar, I will thank you for the discussion, which was interesting as I expected, and I'd love to have you back again, because one of the things I love about you is you can probably contribute to almost any discussion. So definitely have you back in the future, but thank you so much for joining us today.
It was a pleasure, Stuart. Thank you for having me.
All right, now I get my chance to fire away, and I'm going to keep it short because my voice is dying as I go here, and I will get that doctor's note, I promise. Episode 11 of Fire Away, we talked about doctor's notes and the changes we've seen over the past year, where the Liberal government in Ontario brought in personal emergency leave and a prohibition on the ability of employers to require doctor's notes. The Conservative government then came into power, made a whole lot of changes, repealed many of the changes to Bill 148, and also remove that prohibition. So now employers can ask for doctor's notes again when there is an absence. There's a lot of controversy over this. The medical associations are adamantly against employers using doctors to, as they say, police their employees and require doctor's notes. They say it takes away from valuable doctor's time. It risks spreading communicable diseases by making someone go into the doctor's office and get a note, etc. One of the points I wanted to make, though, in my chance to fire away today is that the only reason we're debating this issue of doctor's notes, the only reason that employers want the right to require doctor's notes in certain circumstances is, like so many aspects of employment law, the need is driven by the minority of people who abuse a right, in this case, the right to sick days. If people only took sick days when they needed them, this would not even be a discussion. The reality, though, is that we all know people who want to go away to Vegas for the weekend and they're out of sick days, or they're out of vacation days, or they have a friend in front of town, they don't want to burn a vacation day, so they call in sick. Or, as I have seen happen, people actually ask for time off. The employer says, unfortunately, you can have that time off some other time, but we need you in the office that day. And then they mysteriously become sick on that day, which is just so blatant that it's almost inexcusable. But that's where an employer should have the right to require documentation and essentially, you know, police that situation and impose discipline or dismissal in the right cases. So that's where we're talking about it. What baffles me, and one of my pet peeves I want to talk about today, is why there are so many employers that unnecessarily limit their own rights. So if you're unionized, you have a collective agreement, you've got to negotiate that. And odds are you're going to have a sick leave policy which says something like, if you're absent for more than more than 3 days, then you are going to be required to bring in a doctor's note. The reality is that we often see the situations I mentioned earlier where someone is taking 1 day, but it's clearly, or at least appears to be, fraudulent. Or you have the person who is conveniently absent on every Friday before a long weekend in the summer, and you want to ask for a doctor's note. If your collective agreement says you can only ask for one after 3 consecutive days, you're out of luck. But what baffles me is the employers who are not unionized, and they probably go online and find a policy, or they copy it from a friend or a colleague, and that policy says you're entitled to X number of sick days, and if you're absent for more than 3 days, we can require a doctor's note. And then, of course, they call someone like myself and they say, we've got this employee, they're always absent for the long weekend, or they've always got these suspicious absences, can I ask for a doctor's note? And when I look at their policy, I say, no, because you created the rules, no one else interfered in that, and you basically tied one hand behind your back. So if you're an employer and you're not unionized, make sure your policies say what you want them to say. And second point, though, is very important. Enforce those policies in a respectful manner, in a fair manner. You don't want to be abusive. You don't want to single out certain employees. You don't want to harass certain employees by enforcing them against some employees, by not others. But as long as you're conducting yourselves fairly, you also want to be able to ensure that people are coming into work when they should be coming into work and not taking advantage of the sick days that you're offering them. The bottom line is that, and this is something that Omar Hareda and I discussed in episode 11, we're not just talking about sick days. We're talking about a broader relationship. The employment relationship is one of the most significant relationships you have in your life, whether you're their employer or the employee. It should be governed by good faith, by mutual respect, by trust. Employers, you have a business to run. Work has to be done. We all get that. But you should also be respectful and considerate and compassionate, because the vast majority of time when someone calls in sick, it's because they are sick, as I am today. But when there is an abuse, you as an employer want to have the right to control it, i.e. by requiring doctor's notes, knowing that it's far from a perfect system, knowing that it's not going to be that hard for someone to get a doctor's note, whether they go online and Google how to get doctor's notes online, or whether they go to a clinic. Just the fact that they have to will act as a deterrent and may cause some people to choose just to come into work rather than taking a day off when they don't really need it. But employees need to know that if they are sick, if they have a legitimate illness, their job is not going to be in jeopardy if they take the day off. At the same time, employees should know that if they are abusing the sick days that they are provided with, then there are going to be consequences. There may be discipline up to and including dismissal, as we often say. So that's my 2 cents worth for today, and you got it here for free. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and in particular, a special shout out to my nephew, Kevin, who tunes in every month, and I love the fact that you do it, so thank you. Thank you to Omar Haredi for joining me today for a great discussion. Our next episode is going to be on January 15th at 12:30 as usual. My guest is going to be Ryan Duquette, who is the founder and principal of Hexagent Consulting. We're going to have a great discussion on cybersecurity in the workplace and the digital activities of employees, which I think is going to be fascinating. And one of the things I've said for probably about 15 years now is technology is great because it allows us to do our work more efficiently. It also allows employees to find newer and more creative ways to get into trouble. So we're going to have a lot of fun talking about that. If you have any questions after today's episode or suggestions for future future topics, feel free to email us at info@rudnerlaw.ca. As always, past episodes can be found on YouTube or on Facebook or on our website. And if you like or subscribe to our pages, you get notifications. Last thing I will remind everyone, Rudner Law firmly believes in education. We do things like this show. We have a lot of information available on our blog, on our social media pages. If you subscribe to our newsletter, you'll be notified about all of this. And of course, I will always caution everyone, none of this replaces employment advice. If you think that you need an employment lawyer, you probably do. So please don't hesitate to reach out to Rudner Law. We'd be happy to help you if we can. Thank you to Rob, to Rebecca, and Mark for helping to put the show together, as always. And lastly, given that it's now December 18th, I do want to wish everyone very happy holidays. All the best for a happy, healthy, and prosperous 2019. If you haven't seen Rudner Law's holiday video card, please check it out. You can see it on our website, and we had a blast recording it. So hopefully everyone will enjoy seeing it. That's all for today, though. Thanks, and have a great day.